8.5. About that. I walked into this church building, and I met with the board. And at that time, Harvey's not feeling well. He's missing today. But I met with Harvey and Pauline and Hartley and Ruth. And who else was on that board at the time? Kim. Mary. Why am I forgetting Mary? Mary and Kim. Was there one other?
Diane.
How did I forget Diane? And I walked in this room, and I had about 2.5 hours of really good questions. Really good questions. And what was really funny is we had Alex. Alex was 6 months old at the time, and she was in a little playpen. I think she was asleep at that point. And we're sitting there, and we get done, and you know, I looked at Samantha and said, oh, this is going pretty good. And then they start voting in front of us. And we're like, do you want us to leave the room? And Harvey goes, no. We've learned we do everything transparently and in the open. I'm like, okay. And so they voted. They took us to the parsonage, and then they voted to bring us to the congregation. And the congregation voted to unanimously bring us in. And that was a good 2-3 weeks right there that it all happened. But what I really noticed about the leaders who were here was they knew how to lead. They knew to get past all those questions that didn't really matter a whole lot, to get down to the root things they wanted in a pastor. They handled themselves efficiently, tactfully, intelligently. And what I gathered from those moments, you can give yourself a round of applause if you want, is they must have had a leader over them for many years who had trained them to be like this. I walked into a church that had zero debt. Zero debt. We still have zero debt. I walked into a church that was just ready for the transition. And I know it's because of the leadership they had for all of those years. I didn't walk into any cancerous situation. I have pastors who I know who walk into a church and they're like, I can't believe what was left behind by the previous pastor for me. I can't believe the unresolved issues. There was none of that when I got here. I followed a man of God. I followed a man who just knew how to pastor and knew how to pastor well and knew how to love people and love people well. I had not even met Pastor Wilcox at that point, but I knew from walking in this building and interacting with the people here what a pastor he was and still is to this day. I met Pastor Wilcox probably about a month or two later at some sectional function. And then I also realized that he was a humble man. He was a humble man. He wasn't a man who was flashy. He was a man simply about God's work. And so I've been blessed to know Pastor Wilcox now for almost 9 years, and Mrs. Wilcox as well for almost 9 years. And I can't think of a bad thing to say about either one of you. Not that I would, but you two have been a blessing to me, because when I walked in here, you left this congregation who was just wonderful, who was just people so easy to love. And I know that both of you were here 22, almost 23 years, and a lot of that has to come from your leadership and your direction. And so I am so pleased to have Mrs. and Pastor Wilcox back here today to share with you after these many years. Can I get a round of applause for them? She's leaving you behind. I am very grateful you're here today. And here's the mic. God bless you.
After that, you expect me to preach? That is too much. Too much. God is so good.
Amen.
It's so good to look down and see some of you I do know. Most of you I do know, but there's some that I do not really know like I know the rest of you. Not like Brother Chapman. And I thought of Brother Chapman this morning as he came and introduced himself to me. He didn't have to, but I knew who he was. And one day we were at his mother's house talking about church. And as we were talking there, she said, you know, there's a couple that get up in the morning and they say one to the other, are we going to church today or not? She says, what is there to think about? It's Sunday morning. Get to church.
Yes.
She knew exactly that you need to get to the house of the Lord. Because I don't know about you, but I need it.
Yes.
I need the house of God because I need the strength.
Yes.
I need the fellowship of God today. And that's what I want to preach about. And that clock is very large. And I just had cataract surgery in February the 15th, and my eyes are not what they should be. I haven't got glasses yet, but I do have a pair of my wife's. And if I need them, then I will use them. But until then, thank God that I'm here, and I want to praise God for his goodness. I asked my doctor, I said, how am I supposed to feel at my age of 83, she said, I don't know. How do you feel? I said, well, I don't really know how I'm supposed to feel. But I knew one thing for sure, that I have God in my heart.
Yes.
I have the joy of the Lord in my soul. And I know that God will bless and God will minister to each and every one of us as we reach out to him and be a blessing to one another, and pray for one another. Most of all, if you forget everybody else in your congregation, be sure and pray for your pastor.
Amen.
He needs it.
Amen.
Because I know what he goes through, I know what he contends with, and he needs the power of God to use him and bless him and to minister to him as he walks this wonderful walk. And I just feel so, I don't know, about preaching after that accolade that he gave, it just was, I said, is that really talking about me?
Amen.
And it's like, you know, that Gideon was thrashing by the wine press and the angel of the Lord spoke unto him. He says, thou mighty man of valor.
Yes.
And I imagine he probably turned around and says, who are you talking to? It's not me, because he was hiding. But praise God, we need to say thank God for his goodness and his love. I want to read you a little article that I read this a couple days ago, and I'm going to try to get through it. It is, to me, it's a very, sometime, thank the Lord for my wife's glasses. It says, I only prayed. Norman Hall stood early one morning on the summit of Showdon in Wales, with 120 people, others who had been affirmed that there would be a perfect and unusual grand sunrise. They were not disappointed. As they stood waiting, the sun tinged the mountain peaks with glory, and the sparkle was in the lakes, and Dr. Hall was invited to preach. He was so overwhelmed with emotion that he could not preach, but began to just pray. As he prayed, the tears rolled down the face of the people. A superhuman stillness possessed them. Quietly, with solemn awe, they descended the mountain and scattered. Afterward, visiting the region, the doctor was informed that 40 people were converted that morning and had joined the church in the neighborhood. But he said, I did not say a word about them. I just prayed. Yes, they said, more wonderful still, they did not know a word you said, for none of them could speak English, but only Welsh. Isn't God good? Amen. God will just use, and he'll use each and every one of you if you allow him to use you and to minister to you and through you. And I say God will bless you as you step out by faith. That is what you've got to do, step out by faith. Oh, I don't dare to. I'm fearful. And I know one thing for sure, nobody's no more fearful about even standing behind the pulpit until I get there. And I won't tell you how long, but it's been since 1960 or so that I've been preaching, and I always feel the same way. I said, God, don't let me feel too big when I stand before the pulpit without trusting in you. I need you every moment of the day. And somebody, I even said this morning, my wife didn't hear me. She was getting dressed. And I said, Lord, I need you this morning again. And isn't it a consolation that we can trust in God? That whatever we go through, that he is there. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. That he would be with us through everything that happens. And thank God he is there. Amen. And I want to read some scripture this morning. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Beginning with the 4th verse. I thank my God always on your behalf, for the grace of God which is given by Christ Jesus, that in everything ye are enriched by him, and in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind not in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, and that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And I want to talk to you this morning about what we've experienced as we've come in this morning and the music began to play. I want to talk to you about God desires your fellowship. God desires you coming in contact with him. He desires that you submit yourself unto him and let the power of God minister to you and through you like he wants to do. Because you know, like Israel was worshiping God through the various times, having the sacrifices. God spoke to them, do you think I need more sacrifices? That was not what God wanted. He spoke to them and said, your heart is not where it should be. It's far from me. You need a heart that is crying out unto me. And I said, God, help us. Each and every one here this morning hour would say, Lord, help me to cry unto you and to ask you to minister to my life and strengthen me. Because we need strength, and it's going to take God's power to make you strong in him. Number one, you'll never make it without Jesus. Amen. You'll never make it without God intercepting you and helping you. You'll never make it without the blood of Christ cleansing your soul and making you a child of God. And you can say, whether I live or die, I'm going to be with Jesus one of these days. It's so good to know that it's wonderful. And my wife mentioned to me quite a while ago, she said, you know, we got to do something. I said, what is that? She said, we got to get our wills made out. And I looked and I said, my will made out? There's nothing to leave, so why worry? Well, we need a will made out. And so we got that done. And then I went to my doctor, and the doctor says, well, you got to make out a living will. Do you want somebody to care for you? And if something happens, you can't make a decision. You want something to do it for you? I said, well, we'll get it taken care of. So we got that taken care of. I don't know what is left next to get taken care of, but I know one thing for sure. My wife is getting, everything's getting ready. I don't know if I'm getting sent off quick or what. I don't know. I'm in no hurry to go. I don't know about you as I forget who was. I think it was Brother Chapman mentioned about How are you feeling? I said, I'm feeling pretty good. Well, I feel the best I have for quite a while. You know, I had some words that came to me one day back in 2015 that stopped me in my tracks. I couldn't hardly speak for a moment when the doctor said, you got cancer. I'll tell you, when you have something like that hit you on the ears, it freezes you for a moment. You can't do anything about it. But I thank God that I had the surgery and they couldn't find any more cancer. Amen. I say, God, I praise you. God, I thank you for what you've done already. Yes, the doctor did the surgery, but you know there could have been something else that was lying dominant there and would say, later bring its head up and say, you got cancer again, but I'm believing God that God is still on the throne. God hasn't changed. He's our great physician. He will touch and minister to all those that dare to trust him, that dare to believe that whatever he says in his word is going to happen. And I thank God he's the one that heals. He is the one that terminates our lives. And I don't like to use the expression terminate. It's not really good. But calls us to rise up higher. Amen. And we know God is so good. You know, Jesus was speaking one day. He says, I want to give you something. I want to give you my peace. And he tells us that in John 14:27, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, let it not be afraid. I say, God, help us this morning that we would accept that peace that Jesus has given to each and every one of us, because we're living in times of violence, times of upheaval, times of terrible things happen, times of corruption. We think corruption used to be just in some of the hoodlums of the gamblers of the world today, but it's in our political world.
It's in our schools.
It's in our everywhere. Terrible things are happening. We thought one day, you know, when our children's in school, they're safe, but they're not anymore. You're safe in your homes, but it's not anymore. What do we got to do? We got to completely trust in Jesus, regardless of what comes, what goes, that God is going to take care of us. Isn't it wonderful? He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He meant it.
Amen.
And what if something like that does happen? Pastor, what if somebody breaks in your home? Oh, Lord forbid they do, because I have something under my bed that might back them up a little bit. I have something in my side room that, you know, is something else that might change their mind. It's like back a number of years ago, we were in Kentucky, and my brother-in-law was telling me that he had a knock on this door one night. And he said, I asked him three times, who is it? No answer. Who is it? No answer. Who is it? No answer. So he took his pistol and three shots through the door. He said there was no more knocking. I guarantee you, I wouldn't have knocked it. I wouldn't have knocked either. Knowing what he did, and when he came to visit us in Maine, I said, are you packing? He said, yes. He said, and he had two pistols on him. Yeah. So he, and you know something? And he was a Christian.
Amen.
Where so many things that are happening today, I believe we need to be wise and not go in places that we know we're going to get in problems. I think we need to be wise in the things and comments that we make. I just wish our president would make a lot less comments than he does sometimes. Even though he's a Republican, I'm supposed to be a Republican, but I don't agree with everything he does. But I thank God that things are happening today. And I say, Lord, every morning we pray. Every morning we pray. Who do we pray for? Keyser Falls Assembly of God. And you know what I pray? God, you bless that minister. You bless his family. You fill that church with people right to the back doors. Lord, you fill it full of hungry people that want to worship you. I have a nephew in Kentucky that has a church, and I pray every morning for him. Lord, you fill his church. Fill it with hungry souls. We were visiting there, and you know that song, We Shall See the King?
Amen.
You never sang it like they do in the South.
Amen.
We were on the course and they were on the last verse. They didn't let anything stop them at all. They just went right through it. But I say, God, thank you that you have said in your word, my peace I give unto you. And I thank God that he has given us our peace. Do you wonder what's going to happen to this world, they asked me? I said, no. Do you wonder if there's going to be another war? No. Do you wonder if a tragedy might happen to you? No. Do you care? No. Because I know one thing, my hand is in one that controls everything that comes my way. And I say, God, thank you that you are able to, if it's an enemy of your soul. Because I, number one, you want to realize this morning hour that there is an enemy of your soul is out to devour you and cause you to turn away from God every moment of the day if you would listen to him. But I say, praise God, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world today. Because that's what Jesus says. And I've often said, you know, if an enemy comes like that to you, hit him with that John, that 4x4. Everybody here knows what a 4x4 is. At least you men, you know what a 4x4 is. And so if the enemy comes against you, you say, I'm going to hit you with that 4x4. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. In the beginning of that verse, you know, there's something I so many times overlook. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Amen. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. There's a reason why you overcome. There's a reason why you win victories. There's a reason why you're still serving God. Because greater is he that's in you this morning. And he wants you to realize, and you can thank God for the Holy Spirit. I sometimes say, Lord, if I would depend upon the Holy Spirit more, I would have less problems. If I would depend upon the Holy Spirit more, I would realize there's greater power in God than what we read here day by day. And being obedient to God will bring joy in your life. How many people, I don't want you to raise your hand now, there might be some that don't feel that. How many people this morning likes joy in their life? Amen. Now, if I was to ask you to raise your hand, I'm not going to. Probably 99 to 9/10 of you would raise your hand. Because I like joy. Amen. I like joy in my life of the Lord. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Some people falter and fail because they lack enough joy in the Lord. I've so many times I go to my small bedroom. Used to be our great-granddaughter's bedroom. And one day she said, Pa, she said, I'm going to graduate to the big bedroom. I said, yeah, that's right. So now it's my little bedroom that I go in, and I sometimes I play the guitar. When my hands are hurting, I play just the same. And sometimes I begin to weep before the Lord. There's nothing like being in fellowship with the Lord and feeling his presence that saturates you through and through. There's nothing like that joy. No matter what you have in this world today, it will never compare to the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
Joy of the Lord. And you people say, well, you didn't have a big enough crowd to have a lot of joy. Well, that's contradicting what God's word says, because it says in Matthew now 18 and verse number 20, for whether two or three gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Whether it's you and somebody else in the name of the Lord gathered there, you're going to feel the presence of God. You're going to feel his presence coming to minister to you. And he wants to strengthen you. Because we have never, and if we live to be 100, well, I won't say that, 110. Because I had a great-grandmother that lived to be 107, but I don't think I'll make that yet. Unless you all pray, then maybe I'll get a little further. Amen. But we thank God for his goodness, and he will be in the midst of them, to minister to them. And don't you love it when God begins to minister to you, and God begins to melt your heart?
Amen.
Oh, thank God. Thank God for his goodness. It's like the new pastor that came, not here, and they gave him a date of having a picture taken. And so as he had his picture taken, they said, that doesn't That doesn't look like all the other former pastors of that church. You're smiling and just happy about it. He said, that's all right. That's all right. I'm just happy to be able to do the joy of the Lord and thank God for his goodness. And we thank God for his love to minister to us. And secondly, this morning, fellowship with God brings growth. I love to see growth in a church, numerically and spiritually. Because I pray every morning for our church that we are attending, and I thank God for our son. I consider him one of the best ministers I've ever sat under in teaching. And I've sat under a lot of them. It's like when our granddaughter married the general superintendent of all the Assemblies of God in Missouri. I said, boy, that's good. Because I'm going to go, maybe I can make some points with the general superintendent, and I can make some points with him and get a real good position. But that didn't work. It just fell right through. And now he's not the general superintendent, so I don't have any more chances. But I got one chance, and that is to be my best I can for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Word of God and the fellowship with him builds growth in your heart and life. Everybody here this morning, you have a comfort zone. Where do you feel comfortable? Where do you feel comfortable about worshiping God in the house of the Lord? Does it make you feel like you just want to praise him? Just like I saw so many hands and people responding to the Spirit of moving upon them and raising their hands and singing. There's nothing like it this morning. It's nothing like a response to the Spirit of God that will minister to you and help you and bless you as you respond to him. And Lord, move me out of my comfort zone. Move everyone out of their comfort zone so they'll, and if God is speaking to you to take a step by faith, yes. Step by faith. I think I've told you people, I don't know if you remember it, what faith is. Faith is climbing a tree, stepping out on the branch, sawing the branch off, and the tree falling. That's faith. Amen. That's faith, folks. In the physical, we know it wouldn't happen. Right. You'd be the one to be coming down quicker than what you went up. But it's good to realize that we need to stand by faith in God. Yep. That whatever God wants you to do and be, if he wants to take you out of your comfort zone, say, praise God, do it, Lord. Be willing and let God minister to you today. Because he will bless and encourage your heart as you wait upon him. It says in Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 21, thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, to the right, and when you walk to the left. I say, Lord, I want to hear thy word speaking to me. I want to be directed by the Holy Spirit, that he will minister to me and help me to avoid the pitfalls and the traps, the enemy, because the enemy, whether you realize it or not, the enemy has a trap set for you. And if you don't spiritually walk the way you should walk, you're going to fall in that trap. Well, God is going to guide me. Yes, I agree. God's going to guide you. But you've got to be in tune with God and be able to hear what the Spirit of God is saying unto you. Because today where our ears is being filled up with so much stuff that is ungodly. You walk the streets and go to the mall and different places and you hear all these things that are going on. And our ears get filled with all the corruption all around us. And we need to say, God, put blinders on my eyes. Stuff my ears, Lord, with something to keep out the things that I should not hear. I say, God, bless and minister to my life and help me to receive what you have for me today. And let me hear the voice of God. We stop and think about Abraham as he was going up the mountain, when God called on him to bring his son Isaac and to offer him on the as a sacrifice upon the altar. And it says that Isaac said, "Father, we have the wood and we have the fire, but what of the sacrifice?" God said that he will provide. And if God didn't hear that, Isaac would have been stabbed to death. But it's good to realize that God and Abraham were on talking terms. And I say, in order for you to hear God's word, you got to be on talking terms with God. You got to be in communion with God and ask God to be with you day by day and guide you over the road. And I say, Lord, every time we get in the car, Lord, when we pray, God, you guide us over the road. Because one day when we were still pastoring here, we were going down Route 5 towards Limerick. And as we were going down there, part of the way, there was a little white car that came on my side of the road. And it was a lady. And she did not turn out. I had to take part of the ditch for her to get by. When she went by, she was frozen on the wheel like this. I knew what she had intended. She was going to crash me head on, but it didn't happen. I said, God, thank you for your guidance of letting me not be speaking to my wife when she was coming by, but to understand and realize where she was headed, to the front of my car. And I swerved and she got by. You know, the enemy of your soul today is out to devour and turn you away from God. But I say, I'm so thankful that the blood of Jesus has cleansed us, washed us clean, and now that blood still is a covering of protection upon us. And I say, Lord, thank you for that today. And I praise God that our ears can hear if we're listening to what God has to say. And I don't know about you, but I can't afford to miss anything. I'm too close to the end of my journey not to hear what God wants me to hear. Yeah. I want to say, Lord, I want to hear every word that you have to say to me. And the Holy Spirit has a better understanding of what and how we should walk today. He knows better than we do, and we need to trust him. Lord, if you don't want me to do this, you put a wedge between me and that, and don't let me go. Lord, you just stop whatever, because I don't want to go and do anything that would be displeasing to you. I think if more people would say when they get up in the morning, Lord, help my life today to be pleasing unto you, I think we'd be a lot better off. And I say, God, help us today. We know that God wants us to be faithful. And I thank God, while we were here, the faithful people, I know there's a lot of them that God has called up before each and every one of you, but I say thank God for those that are still faithful unto the Lord and ministering unto you. I say, Lord, bless us today. We want to understand that Jesus went through everything that you go through today, and he went through more than what you and I will ever go through. It tells us in Luke chapter 4 how that Jesus, it says in that chapter, was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. And there he was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. He was ministered later by the Holy Spirit and ministered unto him. But he did not succumb to the enemy's wishes, because who met him? Satan. Now, if you're hungry, Jesus, why don't you just cause a stone to be made bread, and it'll satisfy your hunger? I like what Jesus said. He said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. We need today the word of God in our lives. If we want to live and be what God wants, we have to have the word of God. The Word of God should take precedence in our lives today. It's people say, well, you know, there's no stories in the Word of God, and it just is dull. Well, you haven't read the stories I have.
Yes.
Yeah, really.
My mother, God, she feared God. One thing she used to do, she loved Revelation.
Amen.
And you imagine young kids reading Revelation. They're not like the kids today. The kids today, they're, I mean, all these different creatures, it doesn't bother them a bit. But in back in our day, when they were mentioned about the seven heads of a beast coming up, and we would sit there and just almost tremble because what she was reading.
Yes.
I never forgot that. You know, that's been a good long while. But I'll tell you one thing for sure, that God will bless those that read His Word,
Amen.
That will follow His Word. We'll just not say, well, you know, I have had some say, well, I've read it 2 or 3 chapters, and I said, what was it all about? Well, I said, you better go back. Because I find myself having to crash study sometimes, and I read one chapter, I start to read the one chapter, and after I read about the first 6 verses, I forgot what the first verse was. So the Lord says, put it down. I put it down and I have a rest. Then I come back to the Word of God and I begin to read it again. I begin to study it again. If you work through so many things today and all the things that are happening today, I say, God, help us to lay aside time and let the Word of God penetrate in our hearts. And I say, Lord, what we need to do is take and memorize God's Word. Memorize when you're younger, then when you get a little older, like Sister Mary is, well, you'll be able to quote it then. But it's good to realize that we need God's Word in our hearts. If somebody stops you on the street and says, we've seen this scene of John 3:16 on some of the ball games, and what does that really mean?
Amen.
Well, I don't know. You better ask him. Well, we better understand what John 3:16 is all about.
Amen.
Better understand how we get saved, how we're born again. And some people say, well, have you been born again? I've been born once. Well, I've been born twice. Born of the flesh and born of the Spirit. We need to understand that God blesses us and ministers to us as we walk with Him. And He will strengthen us and bless us. Thirdly, this morning, I don't know what time you generally get out. Oh, goodness. I got to hurry here. I've got 2 more pages. You're going to bear with me for a little bit. I'm not going to ask for hands because I did that one time. We were doing another message somewhere else, and I said, is anybody here in a hurry to go home? Maybe you got a roast in the oven, and you don't want to overcook it. And I had one lady raise her hand. I'm not going to do that this morning. But I did as Brother Roger. Where are you, Roger?
Right here.
Oh, there. See, my glasses not working too good. He asked me if I brought my steel guitar. I said, no. I said, I'm getting too old to carry that thing around. My guitar is all right, but my amplifier weighs about 90 pounds. And I said, I can't do that. So I leave it right at the church. And that is always a blessing. I have to take it to Ledgewood Manor. We go there twice a month, and play there. And God is so good to bless those, I hate to say, elderly, you know. And here, I've made it, you know, elderly, and some of them are younger than I am. And one lady, she's 92, and I said, how are you doing, young lady? Oh, I'm doing pretty good. I said, she said, how are you doing? I said, I'm doing pretty good. And she is kind of losing it with Alzheimer's. It's like I have a sister that has Alzheimer's, she doesn't know me. I have a younger brother, about 75, that doesn't know me because of this terrible disease. I say, God, some way. And I don't know about my sister's condition spiritually, but I say, Lord, You're able to speak to the heart. Some way, Lord, could you get through to her and let her know that she needs you desperately right now. And God is so good, and he's faithful to each and every one of us. Thirdly, this morning, fellowship strengthens your walk. We need to be strong in our walk today. We need to know what we believe. We need to know what we stand for. We need to walk with God and ask God to help us and say, Lord, this day, just bring me somewhere in contact with someone that is reaching out and need a word of encouragement. These are times of violent things that are happening, and so many people are hurting today. I say, God, some way, speak to their hearts today and draw them into the fold. We know that each day that we go through, the enemy tries to wear us down and cause us to turn away from him. But I like what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse number 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outer man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. How do we get renewed day by day? By being in his presence, by fellowshipping with him, by talking to him, and let the power of God minister to you and strengthen you. Because God doesn't want any weak Christians. He wants us strong. The word of God says a strong man, you know, he keepeth his palace. The strong man keepeth his house, in other words. The strong man spiritually will keep his salvation upon him and not lose what he has. I say, God, there is a robber. There is a robber. Every child of God wants to rob them of the spiritual things that they have and rob them and cause them to feel that they're really not where God should be having them. But I say, Lord, bless them today. Minister, let your Holy Spirit touch them. Let your Holy Spirit just permeate up within them and let the blessings of the Lord flow upon them and keep them safe. We pray that God would just undertake and God would minister as they trust in him. And each and every one of us are trusting in him today. We have to say, Lord, search our hearts and know our ways. And when you say, so Lord, search my heart, that's what he's going to do. Because he will search and find if there's anything wrong in your life, you need to correct it. I say one thing for sure. I want to make sure. It's like one of the ladies from the Portland church, Christian all of her life. She was on her dying bed, and she asked her daughter, she said, I want to pray and ask God to forgive me of every sin. She said, Mother, you've served him all of your life. She says, yes, but I want to make sure there's nothing there. And I say, Lord, also, every time we lay our head on the pillow, we do our devotions in the morning, because when we're young, I mean, when we're just getting it done, then we got a whole day. Then at the end of the night, when we lay our head on the pillow, say, Lord, if I've done anything during the day, anything that displeasing to you, Lord, you forgive me of that. Cleanse me of any sin. I say, God, help me today. God will minister to us today as we trust in him. We don't want to be like Samson. You remember Samson in the book of Judges? How that he flirted with sin too long. He did the wrong things. He broke the covenant between him and God. And it says he allowed Delilah to know what his secret was. When she had his hair cut, then she said to Samson, the Philistines be upon thee. And he rose and he said a terrible thing. I wist not that the Spirit of God had departed from me. What a sad case of Samson, that it could have been a greater judge than he was. Yes. And he let things get in the way and ruin his very life. And had his eyes put out and just went around crushing the grain until this time of death. I say, God, help us today not to wait too long, but say, God, bless today and minister. Lastly, this morning, this is a short one, maybe a half hour.
Amen.
Fellowship deepens your love for God. I have heard many people say, I love God. Well, according to the scripture, it says, if you love me, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And some of them don't keep their commandments. They don't keep the Lord's day. They don't keep any blessings at all that comes their way. They say, God, I don't need you today. I'm bigger than God. And some of this new creation that's going on and all the other things, all the invasion of our immigrants that are not legals, that are causing terrible crimes and ungodly things. I say, Lord, help us today that we would stay safe within your presence. And I like what Paul says in Philippians 3, third chapter, in verse number 10. My granddaughter, great-granddaughter, she quoted this to me one day, and I said, that's good. It's good. You're learning. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Don't you want to love him and know him just a little bit more? Yes. Don't you want his fellowship a little bit more? I say, Lord, sometimes you can't get enough of that fellowship, and the things are singing before the Lord. No wonder David was so blessed when Saul had him come, and David played before the Lord, and it soothed Saul's spirit. And I say the music of God will soothe your spirit if you're troubled. The Spirit of God will minister to you. And I like what Joshua chapter 24, and I'm going to close with this verse. Joshua 24, verse number 15, and the last portion of that verse. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
We will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. And that's what God is desiring, to be in fellowship and worship. There's nothing any greater, I feel, than the praise and the worship of God's saints in the house of the Lord, worshiping him, because we've centered our attention on him. We have invited him to come and to minister to us and to bless us as we walk these days in this life. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we are so grateful this morning for the fellowship that we can have with you and the praise we hear of your people as they praise you. We ask you, Lord, to minister to every life here this morning hour. We ask you to strengthen. We ask you to bless. We ask you to touch, Lord. And if those are maybe ill today and feeling ill, we pray, God, that your healing virtues would just flow through them. If those some that feel their comfort zone is being pressed into a deeper measure, I say, God, bless them as they step out by faith and to receive from your bountiful hand. God, bless, we pray. Bless our pastor and his family. We pray, Lord, that you would enrich in his life even greater, that you would fill this church to overflowing with souls that want to worship you. We praise you today and give you thanks for your coming and ministering to us today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.